Coming up on Transformers University, the Headmaster's cartoon heads towards its final battle on Earth, but we'll stop off on an asteroid for a duel of some sorts. We'll talk about all that right now on Transformers University. Hello, my friend, and welcome to Transformers University, episode number 144. I am your host, Anthony Brucali, owner, operator, madman behind TFU.info, the website, the toy archive, this podcast, TFU News and Views podcast, and oh, so much more. And I want to welcome you as we finally wrap up the Headmaster's cartoon. Now, these are the final three new episodes. There are some episodes that come after this that I will not cover. One, just because I can't find them. And two, because they're clip shows. So they just cover things that have happened in previous series and then within this series. There's no new content there. So we're only going to talk about the new content. So we're going to wrap up with the final three episodes, 33, 34, 35 of the Headmaster's cartoon. Now, before we get into that show, do want to invite you to come join the Patreon, patreon.com/TFUinfo. You've heard me say it before. That's a great place to hang out and get a little bit of what's going on in my head a lot of the time. I try to post to the Patreons every day, every other day when I can. And I will say that it is just a good time. I just wrote a whole thing on the final episode of season two of the reboot of Night Court. If you like Night Court like I like Night Court, you'll want to check that out. And we cover all sorts of things, and there's all sorts of exclusives. Hey, there's an exclusive sneak peek right now of an unreleased Transformers figure from the Kingdom line, a Beast Fossilizer, I should say, a Fossilizer figure, a saber-toothed tiger that was shown in the art, never actually made it to production. But an exclusive image, exclusive look at what that figure could have been. There's also exclusive podcasts. There's the Seven Figures podcast that's been up there a while. Some other deep dives into what Transformers could have done a few years ago for a Commander class. And you can go back and listen to those and see how those panned out, because I called a lot of things that were either made into Commander figures or Titan figures. So all worth checking out, all exclusive to the Patreon, patreon.com/TFUinfo. You sign up for as little as $1 a month. Helps the show, helps the podcast, helps the website, and helps me create this content for you. Now, with that said, we're going to dive finally into these three episodes and wrap up Headmasters, the cartoon. So we'll start with episode 33 of the series, originally aired on March 25th, 1988, called Duel on the Asteroid. That is the actual translation. It's also the translation that Shout Factory used on the DVDs, but of course, Omni Productions.
The plot to the final battle.
What? Wait, the plot for the final battle? Are they telling me the story of the final battle that's yet to come? Are we... There is just so much wrong with the translation of that title. You'd think that the folks who spoke English natively at Omni Productions looked at these and said, maybe we should clean this up a little. We're not trying to match lip-flap here. Maybe we should make this title make sense. Anyway, let's get into the episode. The episode starts with the Decepticons in space, and our narrator explains what's going on.
The asteroid belt is a small belt of rocks and debris which is floating in the solar system between Mars and Jupiter. And now the Scorpion is docked temporarily on the Pallas, which is one of the largest rocks in the belt. They're trying to repair their main drive there.
Well, if you ask me, their huge Pallas needs to hurry up. I don't know why they keep saying it like that, but Pallas is actually a real place, and I'm just going to quote from the TF Wiki here. Pallas, Ceres, and Juno, which are all places we'll hear about in the course of this episode, are real-life celestial bodies in the asteroid belt. At the time of the production of the Headmasters, Ceres was officially classified as an asteroid and is referred to as such in this episode. But it's set in 2011, and as of 2006, the far-flung future of 2006, Ceres was reclassified as a dwarf planet. So if you're ever wondering where Dopey and Gimli come from, it's Ceres. Juno, also in the translation, keeps getting called Cholo, which is char in most of this series. So I don't know if they meant Char and Juno are the same place, or if they were just being lazy and like, yeah, that's going to be Cholo, which we've been using the whole series. Also, the narrator mentioned Mars. Isn't Mars gone? Didn't they blow it up? Like, they blew up Cybertron? Like, they've blown up a handful of planets in this whole series? It does get a little strange. Now, We'll start with the repairs, and Sixshot returns and meets with Zarek. Back on the Autobot ship, the battleship Maximus is traveling through space.
Space!
And Point Blank is going to investigate a palace. And he does, and he gets attacked. Fortress and the headmasters then plan a rescue mission. But the target masters are surrounded by the Decepticons until the headmasters arrive. There's a big fight scene. Zarek sends Sixshot into the battle. Sixshot's plan is to fight and defeat Chrome Dome. And Sixshot and Chrome Dome fight. Sixshot challenges Chrome Dome to a duel.
Chrome Dome, you're not bad. I would like to have a duel with you.
Anytime, my friend.
Tomorrow at dawn, come to Planet Jolo. Do you accept the challenge? Well then, are you scared?
Of course I'm not. I accept your challenge.
That's what I call a real warrior. You and I will have a real fight. Remember, tomorrow dawn, Jolo.
So what I think we've got on our hands is a heavy metal war. And how about that reminder at the end? It's like that classic Honeymooners episode where Ralph Cramden meets Harvey in the pool hall.
He'll fight you anytime.
Will you
He'll be there.
Rodney, shut up.
So you want to fight me some other time, huh? All right, wise guy. Meet me at 8 o'clock at Kelsey's gym Friday night.
Come on. We will be there. Just make sure that you show up.
Don't worry, I'll be there. And if you don't show up, I'll come get you. Where do you live?
328 Chauncey Street.
All right, don't forget, Friday night, Kelsey's gym. Come on, George, I want to go home and punch the bag a little.
Okay, Harvey.
And just remember, if you don't show up, I'll come get you.
A pox on you and all your ancestors!
All right, had to throw some Honeymooners in here, but let's continue on. The bots flee. The Decepticons prepare for the duel. Zarek has Duocons install a time bomb on Juno. I wrote down Char and I wrote down Cholo, and those are all wrong. And back in the Autobot ship, Fortress forbids Chrome Dome from going to the duel, but Chrome Dome is not going to listen. And Daniel, having befriended Sixshot a few episodes back, doesn't want either one of them to get hurt. Back on Juno, Sixshot catches the Duocons arriving with their bomb. Now, Point Blank, he tries to talk Chrome Dome out of the duel, but Chrome Dome only has one thing on his mind.
I'm sorry. I'll kill you, Sixshot.
And so Chrome Dome goes to fight. The other headmasters want to go, but are forbidden by Point Blank. And he says, Chrome Dome's been expelled from the Autobots for defying orders, because the order was to stay at the base. The Scorpion ship, Scorponok's body is moving, and the Autobots deduce the plan. Wheelie finds Daniel in his exosuit, leaving the ship to go to the duel. And in the course of this, Daniel transforms. The exosuit has this flight capability. It's the first time we've seen the exosuit transformed in a long time. And seeing it fly through space as opposed to when you're in Transformers the movie, it's rolling on the ground and kind of makes sense. Looks really awkward and janky and worth checking out. Maybe I'll make it a screen cap for this episode. Now, the Autobots decide to split up. The Target Masters will go after Daniel. The rest will try to stop the Scorponok and the Scorpion ship. Back on Juno, it's 311 and Chrome Dome and Sixshot are ready to fight.
You're late, Sixshot.
Chrome Dome, shall we begin?
You listen. Today I'm going to kill you with my very own hands.
Well, let's just see who is going to kill who today.
Come on, then!
I believe he means whom is going to kill whom. I guess he's no grammar consultant. Chrome Dome and Sixshot fight, and they are interrupted by Daniel. Daniel steps between them.
Uncle Sixshot, we're friends, aren't we? Please don't fight!
Get away. You and I are not friends, little boy. Get away!
All right, then. So kill me, too!
And just then, the bomb goes off, and Sixshot has a change of heart.
Danny, I'll cancel this duel for your sake.
On the ship, Scorponok watches as Sixshot tells Chrome Dome to get Daniel to safety.
So, you traitor, you want to betray me, do you? Die.
Yes, that's what traitors do. We have some more explosions, and Daniel falls down a crevasse. He is then rescued by Sixshot. The asteroid explodes. Chromedome and Daniel find point blank. Sixshot dies, I think, and Daniel is sad.
Uncle Sixshot!
I didn't know Daniel and Sixshot were related. The Autobots return to base, and Chromedome rejoins the Autobots officially, and Daniel is worried.
Hey, Danny, what's the matter, eh?
Well, I'm quite worried about Uncle Sixshot.
Come on, Danny. He's a very tough man. Don't worry about him. He won't die easily, that's for sure.
That's great!
And that's where we wrap, heading into the final two-parter. You know, I'm starting to wonder if how I haven't noticed this theme. Like, I joke about planets blowing up, but it feels like that's all this series does is just blow up other planets. And will we blow up more? Well, we're going to head into the final two-parter. We'll have to wait and find out right after this.
Hey, want to help out this podcast or the website tfu.info? There's a number of ways you can do it. Let me tell you how. You can help us directly by joining our Patreon and enrolling as a student at Transformers University. There, you'll get early access to the podcast as well as exclusive behind-the-scenes peeks and perks for as little as $1 a month. Sign up is quick and easy. Just swing on by to www.patreon.com/tfuinfo. Another way you can help us is by using our Amazon link, www.tfu.info/Amazon. Type that into your browser whenever you want to shop at Amazon, and a portion of what you spend will be contributed back to us. It's that easy. Finally, you don't become the world's longest-running transforming toy archive without some help from other fans. We're always on the hunt for photos of figures and accessories we're missing from our pages. If you'd like to contribute, go to tfu.info/help for a list of what we need, or send an email to info@tfu.info. tfu.info, the Alpha Trion and Omega Prime of transforming toys. Now, back to the show.
All right, so that takes us to the first part of the two-part finale of the series, episode 34. Original air date, also March 25th, 1988. It was a double feature that day. It is called The Final Showdown on Earth, Part 1. This is also the Shout Factory title. And, of course, Omni Productions got close.
The Last Battle on Earth, Part 1.
And we'll start with our narrator.
The Decepticons are trying to destroy the Earth so that they can obtain the atomic power. In order to stop Scorponok's evil plans, the Autobot spaceship is following close behind on the journey to Earth. Something unbelievable happened at an ancient theater in Athens.
In Athens, a rocket rises out of the ground with Pounce and Wingspan clearly part of this somehow. The rocket heads to space and deploys a satellite. In the oceans, Predaking and Bruticus rise up from the water and attack a cruise ship. And they attack it in a way where people are falling off, like a scene from Titanic, and clearly die. And then Predaking takes the ship and tosses it to another part of the water, and it sinks. Elsewhere, Spike and Carly get the news from a really strange, generic Autobot. He's white and orange and has a face and no, like, semblance of an alt mode. And Spike decides to send in the Throttlebots, the clones, and the Protectobots to stop the attacks in Europe. Meanwhile, the battleship Maximus races towards Earth. The headmaster Autobots question Chromedome's relationship with Point Blank.
Come on, tell the truth. You're pretty friendly with Point Blank, aren't you?
He must have converted you with his silver tongue back on planet Jolo, is that it?
You know, I don't know how we haven't shipped that earlier. I'm not one for shipping, but going by that translation, maybe we should start shipping Chromedome and Point Blank. Meanwhile, on Earth, Metroplex reports of the Decepticon attacks as Battleship Maximus enters the atmosphere. We find out Sixshot has stowed away on the side of the ship. So I guess he's not dead. On Earth, the Protectobots drove to Australia? I'm not sure how I got to Australia that quickly. Helicopters don't fly that far. And there's another strange metal spire that has risen from the ground. Bruticus is there, and we get ourselves what the series is really good at doing, combiner fights. Defensor is knocked down, and he switches limbs in a very odd way. Streetwise becomes his arm, but remains a foot. And then First Aid becomes his foot, leg, and remains with his gun and fist and fires. It's a very strange bit of animation, but it's effective in showing the combiner fight. Now, elsewhere in Chile, another death tower, this is what the wiki calls them, death towers, another one of those appears, and the clones and the Throttlebots are there to fight Predaking. Battleship Maximus finally lands on Earth, and Metroplex reports in. Meanwhile, Sixshot, who is stowed away on the back of the ship, sneaks away. Fortress expects two more death towers to arise, and RC reports that Spike and Carly, who are on a plane to South America, has crashed in the Andes.
We're starving and we're trapped.
On Friday, January 15th, Touchstone and Paramount Pictures present a motion picture that will astonish you. It will frighten you. It will shock you.
We've got to eat.
Eat what?
But nothing will prepare you for what 16 survivors did to stay alive.
From their death, we live.
Alive. Based on a true story. Rated R. Starts Friday, January 15th at a theater near you.
I hope they packed the lunch. The Autobots head to the Andes, and Fortress confers with his spy, Punch. The Throttlebots and the clones are off still fighting Predaking and losing badly. The Target Masters arrive and defeat Predaking, and then the Death Spire starts shooting energy. The robot train arrives in the Andes. Spike is okay. Carly and a bunch of others are trapped in a crevasse. This seems to happen a lot in the series, too. People getting trapped in crevasses, maybe because they're blowing up planets all the time. It's too narrow for the Autobots to get down there, but not Daniel. And this whole section really bothers me. Why is this too narrow for the Autobots? But the Headmaster Autobots are there, and they could just take off their heads and transform them and send them down because the heads are human-sized. But apparently, only Daniel can get down there. Carly is knocked out, and Daniel goes to get her. In Australia, Bruticus defeats Defensor, and the Decepticon clones leave a parting message.
Goodbye, you idiot!
Back in the Andes, Daniel and Wheelie rescue Carly. Sixshot finds Bruticus and the clones, and the clones reveal the plan.
We have to go to the North Pole now. There's other things for us to do.
North Pole?
That's right. We're meeting Scorponok there. Don't you know that?
Oh, well, we had to go our separate ways to fight the Autobots, so I didn't know what he was doing or where he was.
Oh, I see. So why don't you go ahead first, then?
But I thought we were going together.
I'll be along soon.
It's up to you. I'll go first, then. I really don't know what you people are up to these days.
Bruticus goes off first, and then Sixshot gets the plan for the satellites from the Decepticon clones, just before knocking them out and literally knocking their heads off. The Autobots regroup at Battleship Maximus, and the Target Masters have some news.
What? The power transmitter is made of a substance called gliss, which can only be found in ancient Atlantis.
You mean the hidden treasure under the sea?
Yes, I read about that, but I didn't know it exists.
Once this substance comes into contact with nuclear energy, it gives out a charge which is stronger than any other source of power.
Meanwhile, another spire appears in Washington, D.C., out of the lawn of the White House. And this is where we end. So we have this really neat world-spanning battle. We also have a lot of old faces we haven't seen in a while showing up in the final episode. And we'll have a couple more next episode, too. So what this show has done really well, at least in this episode and heading into the next episode, is try to bring all the dispersed elements of the series together and really do a world-spanning, world-hopping storyline. It's very G1 in a lot of ways. It's very Bayverse in a lot of ways, too. I know, especially with the disjointed storytelling and things that don't make sense. But digressing from that, the story itself has this great quality of being in a whole bunch of places at once. And Headmasters does that a lot and to varying degrees of good or bad. This time, it hops around, but it's action-packed. So it does move along quite nicely. And that will take us, finally, to the finale. Episode number 35, The Final Showdown on Earth, Part 2, original air date, March 28th, 1988, just 3 days after Part 1. Shout Factory, once again, used the same name, and for the final time, Omni Productions gets close.
The Last Battle on Earth, Part 2.
All right, so here we go. Last time we're hopping into a Headmaster's new episode, and it starts with the Autobots finding out about the DC Death Tower. To some, that's just the Watergate Hotel. And Punch has an update.
We've sighted the Decepticon's mothership in Egypt.
Egypt?
Yes. Our search has been successful. We captured a Decepticon in Washington, and he's confessed to us that Scorponok will soon launch the fourth power transmitter, which can control all the other power transmitters.
This one can control all the other transmitters, and you say its location will be in Egypt?
Yes. We must get there before he does, so let's get going.
Okay, then we're on our way now.
Yes, in Egypt, where the fourth tower is. In Egypt. Yes, Egypt. And apparently Wheelie didn't get the memo.
Where are they going in such a hurry?
Egypt, Wheelie. Where the fourth tower is. In Egypt. Also in Egypt. Six Shot, ninja consultant. Sound Blaster, also spying on the Autobots.
They're heading towards Egypt.
And he relays that to Apeface, who is in Egypt. Meanwhile, the Decepticon headmasters attack the ship, and the Autobot headmasters go out to greet them. The Decepticon headmasters have a new transformation. I guess they're trying to do what the Autobot headmasters do with all their various combination attacks, and they call this the Buddha transformation. And the Buddha transformation is Weirdwolf on the bottom with Skullcruncher in the middle and Mindwipe on the top. It's like a headmaster's version of a turducken. It's Bat-Gatorwolf. Bat-Gatorwolf, by the way, my favorite Soundgarden album. As they're attacking the Autobots, Apeface and Snapdragon arrive and hop on top as an Ape Drago Vamp Bally Wolf. Not as good of a Soundgarden record, I know. They fall, the Harkons, and everyone flies off the moving ship. The Headmaster Decepticons, the original three, hold on to the edge as the ship lands. And as the ship lands, a fourth spire arises in Egypt, where the fourth spire is, in Egypt. In San Francisco, the Queen World has docked and people are being rescued. Now, someone thought it was a good idea to put Carly on this ship, because this is the ship that Predaking attacked last episode. This is the ship that a few hours ago was, first off, tilted over to kill a bunch of people, and then tossed into the ocean where it sank. Somehow they got it out pretty quickly in time for it to get to South America to get Carly to then bring her up to San Francisco. I'm not going to figure out how movement and travel works on this planet, but let's just say it happens a lot faster than any of us expect. In the desert in Egypt, Scorponok reveals himself. His plan is to steal all of the energy on Earth. The spires that have now all risen out of the ground shock Fortress Maximus as he's about to fight, and Scorponok lets him know he's headed to the North Pole. I guess to see Santa? Narrator, take it away.
Scorponok is heading towards the Indian Ocean in his spaceship.
He said he was going to the North Pole, so how come he's here?
Sixshot follows underwater and finds Atlantis. It's empty out a bit since 1985 when Atlantis arose in Atlantis Arise, the episode which also aired in Japan, and Sixshot reveals himself, to which Scorponok reveals his plans.
When it comes into contact with nuclear energy, this glitch would create such a powerful reaction that it could destroy anything.
Can it destroy the Earth?
Of course. Once the satellite has absorbed all the energy, the planet Earth will be completely destroyed.
I must leave now, my lord. I just came in to see how you were.
Don't think you can leave now that you know my secret.
I'm going to betray you. Goodbye.
Darn it. I'm going to totally destroy you along with Earth.
Except Sixshot used his holograms to fool Scorponok. And just then, the death spires erupt.
As predicted, more power transmitters were discovered in other areas of the Earth. Five transmitters have been found in the North Pole. The power from these transmitters surrounds the whole of the Earth like a web. Everyone worldwide is living in a state of fear. In order to stop the Earth from being destroyed, Fortress Maximus and his men headed for the North Pole with only one aim in mind.
And that aim? Stop the Decepticons. They arrive to find Decepticons and no Santa. Sorry, he's not there today. Must be on lunch. And...
darn! Scorponok has enlarged himself!
Well then, the fight begins and everyone is there, and this is a pretty cool moment in the episode. I mean, every character from the series, well, almost every character from the series, is there, and they are there to fight. Fortress Maximus fights Scorpion. Daniel and Wheelie are nearly killed by Battletrap until something hits him in the arm. Then Menasor appears to kill Daniel and Wheelie and is defeated by...
Uncle Sexshot!
Donnie, remember, you have a job to do. Take care of yourself. Goodbye!
Uncle Sexshot!
In space...
Space!
The satellite fills, and Scorponok converts his head to robot mode and leaves his body. And the Decepticons flee, because Fortress Maximus is stuck from the energy from the spires. His sword is attempting to attack Scorponok and is against Scorponok's shield, but he cannot move. So he is stuck in this position. And the headmaster Autobots realize they need to lend energy to their leader, Fortress Maximus. But Sixshot knows the four of them is just not enough.
Donnie, if you want to surmount obstacles, then all of you must work together.
That's right! We must all work together! Huh? Willie, come on, let's go give our energy to the commander!
All of us?
That's right! All of us together! Unity is power, come on!
Okay, come on! Everybody, let's give them whatever we can!
Right!
So the rest of the Autobots fly up and form an outer circle around the circle of Headmaster Autobots in the middle.
That's right, come on!
The power of friendship conquers everything!
The power of friendship conquers the satellite.
Oh, no. Darn it!
Then Scorponok's shield and body. Fortress Maximus slices it in half, and the narrator wraps it all up.
The Autobots have finally beaten the Decepticons. After destroying Scorponok's evil shield, the most powerful weapon they had, and Scorponok retreated into deep space. After that, the Autobots were ready to leave the Earth.
Wait, rebuild Mars? Not Cybertron, your home planet? You want to rebuild Mars, the planet that has nobody on it? I mean, I guess to keep the whole, you know, like solar system working properly. But then do you want to go back and rebuild Cybertron? Because it's kind of important to you guys, isn't it? But from there, Fortress Maximus and his Autobots fly off into the sunset. The end. And so that wraps up not just these three episodes of the Headmaster series, but the entire series itself. That is the series finale. That is the final new episode. And I would say, you know, the overall payoff, the first time I watched this through, I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention enough. I did not like this last episode. I felt like we went a long way for Fortress Maximus to just slice Scorponok's body in half. So, like, in some ways, it felt like we're playing a long game to get to a very kind of weak conclusion. And overall, yeah, it is a weak conclusion, right? Because we had multiple planets blown up, and then ultimately, we ended with just the Scorponok body being cut in half, and that's our payment for multiple planets blowing up, and Optimus dying again, Ultra Magnus dying, Galvatron dying. Poor beast formers all getting killed along the way. I feel like there's a lot of things there that we had a lot of buildup and a lot of major things happen, and then this is kind of a weak ending. On the flip side of that, the final battle was really well done. The final battle of everyone just fighting in this kind of all-out war situation at the very end was a great watch, and some really beautiful animation in the process there. Now, there are some redeemable qualities to this series, some really good character arcs from places that you wouldn't expect, from characters you wouldn't expect, such as Sixshot. I think Sixshot's the star here overall. Like, he goes from being, you know, okay, the ninja consultant, we joke about it, but he shows up as this mercenary and plays this role of this evil mercenary and kills Autobots, kills Ultra Magnus, has a chance to kill Daniel and Chrome Dome, and we realize that he's kind of got a bit of a heart to him, and that there is more to him than something something. And he also shows up as this like ultra powerful villain, right? And so like he has this arc where it's like, well, it's not all about him being powerful, and that's pretty cool. And Daniel also has this arc of being a kid, and by the end of the series having to grow up, having to rescue his mom, having to diffuse the tensions between Sixshot and Chrome Dome. And those are some interesting beats that you don't normally see in earlier instances of the series. And finally, Chrome Dome being the hotshot leader of the Headmasters and then giving into his anger and into his need for revenge and then coming back and learning how to step away from that for the greater good. These are all really cool story arcs. I mean, everyone else is kind of
you know, Fortress is kind of just, I had to find the power and I led. And Scorponok is, I'm the evil, you know, mustache twirling bad guy. Like, there's not a lot there. The Decepticon headmasters are all over the place. They're either goofy comic relief or homicidal maniacs. They're all over the place. Like, these three, Sixshot, Daniel, Chrome Dome, I think are really the most interesting and most resonating character arcs in the series. And of course, you know, the show, for its flaws, and there are a lot of them, it does have some unique concepts. It brought the Beast Formers, the Battle Beasts, into the continuity. It's something that I really would like to see explored more. I'm sure it is in various pieces of written fiction as we move along the history of the brand. I'm looking forward to seeing where those go. But having seen them in animation, seeing them as part of the Transformers universe is pretty neat. And then, I don't know, I would call this a unique concept, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of it, is the concept of the Transtector, and that the head is just a smaller part of the body, and that separate robot isn't like a human like it is in the West, where, you know, we have the Nebulon or human alien, you know, combining with the Autobot or Decepticon to work together, but just having it as a smaller version of the bigger, more powerful robot. I'm not a fan of that, I don't think, as a concept, but it is unique that it exists, and it is interesting to see how that is explored. And we'll see that a bit more explored when we get to our next series, which is Master Force. And I don't know a lot about Master Force. I've learned a lot along the way, but I've never watched it. And so, much like this series, you will be watching it along with me for the first time. And so that will wrap up this portion of the Transformers continuity. The Headmaster series, for all intents and purposes, is done. And we will be moving on. So where are we moving on to? You'll find out right after this.
Thanks for listening to the show. Stick around to hear what's coming up next episode. But first, I want to fill you in on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show. Want to be on the show? Leave us a voicemail at 702-763-4838. That's 702-POD-4TFU. Or send an email to info@tfu.info. Be sure to catch us on Twitter @TFU_info and on Facebook and Instagram under the username TFUinfo, all one word. Also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TFUinfo, where we post all of our podcasts plus special video segments, reviews, and live coverage of Transformers-related events such as New York Toy Fair and New York Comic Con. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please visit us at www.tfu.info, the world's longest-running transforming toy archive.
And once again, I want to thank you for joining me on this journey through the Headmasters cartoon series. This wouldn't be possible without our patrons, our super seniors and seniors, Alex Mendoza, Jay Soups, Jacob Owen Lucha, Paul Heal, Eric Sire, John Forex Levengood, and Sean Hamilton. Thank you all for being a part of this show and for supporting the show the way you have. We're going to go back to toys next episode, but we're going to stay in Japan. Next time on the show, we're going to talk the Japanese toy line from 1988. What's new? What's different? You'll find out next time in episode 145 of Transformers University. Until then, I am your host, Anthony Brucali, owner, operator, madman behind TFU.info. Until next time, see ya.